back on Downtown. It's 442. Stuck right here in the middle. It's Rich Kimble, Carrie Haskell, and from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan.
Now, I feel bad because I feel like I've derailed the theme by requesting the middle.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
That's good. Because otherwise I would have come up with, a good radio song for central Italy.
That would be
middle Italy, if you will. Hence the middle from Jimmy Eat World. It occurs to me though every time I listen to that for real, because I don't listen to it a lot anymore because my band plays it, and I have this thing like where we start playing it a lot. All of a sudden, the original, I'm just like, I don't want to hear this again. But I mess up that intro. I generally get it right, but like I think I move one note too early or something like that. I'm like, that's not what I play.
When you sent me that, I was trying to think, because that's one of those songs that it's not that old, I don't think, but it feels like it's been around.
It's older
forever
than you think.
Are we talking early 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a while ago. That's what kills me is, you know, I listen to satellite radio on occasion as well as terrestrial radio. There are these on Sirius. There's this Octane, which is ostensibly new songs, and then like Turbo, and it's like, your grandfather's heavy metal.
Oh,
and it's
no.
Like 2002. It's like that'll come. You're like, oh, God.
It hurts. It hurts. So
it's
much.
Painful. But it's, I mean, I was just joking with Christine again today about, you know, the first time I heard Nirvana and Guns N' Roses on classic rock. I'm like, yeah. It's what you do. I mean, you know, you're either current and hip and with it or or you're us. But that's cool. We're current and hip and with it.
Mostly. I mean, you still surprise me once in a while with a song I know nothing about.
That's right.
And I feel badly.
It was funny. I found a song from this band called Walk the Moon, and I heard it just randomly, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, and they sound really... And it turns out they're the guys who did Shut Up and Dance, which is like the biggest song in the room. My daughter's like, oh, yeah, Shut Up and Dance. Like, yeah. I'm like, first of all, don't say shut up. Anyway, and you're right, and that is not hip. I get it. Fine, cool. But that's cool. I'm down with not being hip, especially this week. This week the Meehans are taking a little break, little rest. Although I did obviously come into the studio because I missed these two so much.
Thank you for that.
Hey, well, I for some reason I really just crave the traffic on 1A. You know what's hilarious? So I was just finished reading this headline about an officer pulls over 160 people in like 5 days.
Wow.
And immediately after I got a phone call from my mother-in-law saying, you're coming in, right? Drive 55, because there were four stadies and I do, folks, I drive safe. I've lost people I know on that road, so I don't drive badly there, but I certainly do drive defensively because it's incredible. And interesting,
stay as far to the right as I can without being off the road.
Yeah, your first interview though, I mean, you know, I was listening for the Happy Days connection, but what an interesting product.
Yeah.
And certainly something that's happened to, I mean, I'm sure everyone listening, right? You just doze off because you've been whatever. I mean, even if you're not overtired, maybe you're too warm in your car on a cold. Like, that's so brilliant. And he's right. It's not Red Bull. It's not anything
and
like
I
that.
And I love that idea that it's lemons, basically.
I love the idea that it was Dr. Heimlich.
Yeah, his uncle.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you know the comedian Eddie Izzard.
I sure do.
He has this great bit on like the creation of the Heimlich maneuver.
What are we going to call it?
to the point where like my wife and I joke about it all the time. Like, I've developed a maneuver. And almost like now he's a fictional character now. And like, no, he's this dude's uncle.
Real dude, Anson Williams' uncle.
So cool. I love it. I don't even know why we're talking about wine, but I can't get over these weird connections. Let's get back to wine.
Yes, let's do
because
that.
The wine I have today is so good. Folks,
it's
first
wonderful.
Of all, let's talk about what I'm drinking right now, because you need to just go to the store and buy it, because it's a day that requires this sort of wine. We're drinking Verdicchio. This is the grape Verdicchio. Verdicchio. And this is a wine from the Marche region. So we're going to be talking a lot about the middle regions of Italy today. Verdicchio, I mean, this thing is like bursting with ripe fruit, but it's nice. It's got some acidity. It's medium bodied, so it's not too light. It's not too heavy. It is like the perfect wine for sipping on right now, which we're doing, by the way, because frankly, we've earned it. But this is a fabulous. So we're going to get to the Marche in a moment. We're going to start in a little north of where this wine comes from, though. just as we left off last week, we talked about the rest of northern Italy, right? And one of the places that I mentioned was a place that produces a wine called Lambrusco, right? And that was around the city of Modena, Italy. And that is the start of basically middle Italy. I talked about the wine because it's sort of a more northern Italian thought process that goes behind that. But it's really starting to get into Emilia-Romagna, which is the first sort of middle area that we're going to talk about. So Emilia-Romagna sits above Tuscany and the Marche, but below the regions of Piedmont and the Veneto that we talked about last week and the week before. Emilia-Romagna, thought to be the homeland of the Sangiovese grape. And the Sangiovese grape is something you're going to hear repeated on this show ad nauseum, because it's a very, very popular grape, and it is the grape in definitely the most popular Italian wine here in America, which is Chianti. Emilia-Romagna, not thought of very much, but is coming a little bit more on the wine scene. You're starting to see more products from there. The Sangioveses tend to have a little bit more of a rusticity to them, which is perhaps why people kind of have derided them, but I've had some absolutely excellent wines from there. Sangiovese, by the way, means blood of Jove. Jove, also known as Jupiter, so the king of the gods, and also his other name is Zeus, right? So Jove in the local dialect, Sangiovese, blood of Jove. Yeah. So and when you name a wine blood of the particular god that you adhere to the most, you probably think highly of the grape, and it's probably a big part of your daily life. So that's true. And as I said, the other big wine from there is Lambrusco, which is this wonderful frothy red that goes fabulously with the fattier foods that come from that region as well. So, and we actually have canned Lambrusco, which is actually quite good. It's, wow. Actually we have two now. We just got in another one. Lambrusco either comes in sort of like it comes in a regular size bottle, but usually with like a beer cap sort of thing. Because you know, it's got carbonation, but not a lot. So it's not like a champagne bottle where you've got tons of pressure building up inside. So they just have sort of a beer stopper on it usually. And no, you're not meant to put back the cork or anything. You just drink it, man. And so that's probably why it's also available, in cans, because sometimes you don't want to have a whole bottle, although it is a very low alcohol wine. Moving south, we encounter the two, we start to encounter the Apennine Mountains, which is also called the spine of Italy here, right? And it is those mountains that divide essentially the rest of the country and have been really the reason why there's a lot of separation of cultures, between the two, sides, east and west. Yeah. So on the, western side, we have Tuscany, obviously the most famed tourist destination because of the city of Florence primarily, which is fair. Florence is an unbelievably magnificent city. And so Americans especially, they flock there, and they go to the other fairly major city, which is called Siena, which is just about 60 kilometers south. And in between there lies Chianti Classico, and scattered around Chianti Classico, the other satellite regions of Chianti. Therefore, Americans have consumed a lot of Chianti. Therefore, Italian producers and importers know that Americans will buy a lot of Chianti, which is to say that there are Chiantis that are good and Chiantis that are not as good. Really not as good. So do ask. You know, ask your friendly. And there's some that are made, you know, with a little bit more of the American market in mind, and then there's some that are, you know, sort of ultra-traditional, lighter-bodied, and a little more acidic. The grape itself, Sangiovese, is fairly acidic. It's kind of like Pinot Noir in that way. It's not that people tend to think of it as a huge grape like Cabernet Sauvignon or anything like that, but they do sometimes they've had the wine Brunello Sangiovese. It's from a little south of Chianti, and Brunello, because of the appellation rules, right? The rules in that particular region say that it has to be barrel-aged and then further bottle-aged before it's released, so it tends to have a little more girth in that incarnation. The other important city that we should hit in terms of red wine, and then we'll revisit this in about a minute, is Montepulciano. Montepulciano is a city. It is a city in Tuscany. It is a grape in the Marche region, and they have nothing to do with each other. The grape that they grow in the city of Montepulciano in Tuscany is Sangiovese, and yes, they're wonderful wines. Vino Nobile di Montepulciano, Rosso di Montepulciano. Check those out. They're absolutely fabulous. White wine of note in Tuscany, by the way, not to be forgotten, is Vernaccia. The most famous is Vernaccia di San Gimignano. San Gimignano is a very famous tourist destination as well, with its famed seven bell towers. Absolutely gorgeous. This is this very refreshing white wine, very similar to the white wine we're having right now, but not related in any way. Again, the Apennine Mountains, they separate a lot of things. Sangiovese made it over, the other didn't. The reason Sangiovese made it over is because it started in Emilia-Romagna, which is north of there, and it spread southly on both sides of the mountain. So once you cross the mountains, you do enter the region of Marche, which is where the wine from today comes from. The other, again, important grape there is Sangiovese and Montepulciano. On this side of the mountains, Montepulciano, most famous from the city of Abruzzo, Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. But it's also found in the Marche in regions like Rosso Conero, Rosso Piceno, and indeed we have a wonderful Rosso Piceno from the same producer, Laila, L-A-I-L-A, that does the Verdicchio that we're drinking right now. We've tasted them both at the tasting last week. It was absolutely fabulous, and they are really quite reasonably priced as well. So check those out. Running out of time, so it'll hit the other two middle regions. Umbria. Umbria is the only part of Italy that has no coastline. It has wonderful hill country, and it has a little place called Spoleto where I spent a summer singing opera, and it was fabulous. It is the home of the Spoleto Festival. It is also the home of this town, I guess, village, whatever, of Assisi, of St. Francis fame, and a beautiful monastery. And their important grape is Sagrantino, which is a very dark-toned, wonderful red grape that you should get to know. Their white grape and region is Orvieto, and that is also fabulous. Lazio is the last region I want to talk about. The capital is Rome. Their important red grape, Cesanese, and it makes a fabulous, again, dark-toned kind of funky wine. Trebbiano, Malvasia are the two white grapes of note there. There we go. That's Middle Italy. Ta-da! Next week, I hope to hit both Southern Italy, which is called Magna Graecia, Greater Greece, which we're also going to talk a little bit about Greece, because Italy wouldn't have been Italy had Greece not been Greece. September tasting is the 19th, and the 8th is the main cheese festival, and we will be there, and I hope to see you there. You can get your tickets online at, I believe it's maincheesefestival.com, but I bet if you type Main Cheese Festival into the Google or your search engine of choice, it'll figure it out, because it is much smarter than I. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week about Southern Italy and Greece.
Thanks, Eric. Have fun at camp.
Oh, yeah.
Read that Sarah Parkak, book.
I've already started Parkak.
Parkak,
and I've already started, and it's really lovely.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, fun stuff.
And by the way, stop in a Bangor Wine and Cheese and find out about books and the connections.
That's right. We also sell books, and we're starting a new thing. So if you sign up for our newsletter, you will also start now getting the Book Nook. And Wine and War is our featured book this week about the German occupation of France during World War II.
Excellent.